Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs. And I'm going to try to work my own slide tonight because I threw a bunch of extra stuff in there. I have it pulled up on my phone so I can hopefully keep track of where I am. But Proverbs, we started this series like, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. This is sermon two. And I think I'm going to finish it around December. It's a four sermon series, but we'll get there, and we'll be the wiser for it. All right, so Proverbs, the book of Proverbs starts with a purpose statement. Wisdom comes from God. That's where wisdom comes from, and it begins when we reverence or respect God properly. He will give us wisdom, or He'll lead us to wisdom, or He'll show us wisdom. And here, Solomon, the wise teacher, as he wrote the majority of the book, he warns the readers then to behave and to walk circumspectly, avoiding the allurement of the world and the allurement of sin and its destruction. And then in Proverbs 1, if you would follow along with me, verse 22, he states that there's kind of three categories of people, or he names three types of people. And they're listed here, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. Elsewhere in Proverbs, the simple and the scorner are distinguished, and the fool is used for both of them. But Proverbs 1, verse 22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" In our study of Proverbs, we've already looked at the scoffer, or the scorner, as he could be called. And we're going to look today at the simple. And then the next two, or the last two, however you want to word it, the last two sermons, we're going to divide up and look at the sage, or the wise man, how we too can be wise people. And so let's just start with a basic definition of the simple. It simply means to be naive. They believe, whoop, there we go, doubling up. They believe most things because they lack understanding. They're easy to be tricked or duped. They believe what they hear because they lack conviction. They don't have the convictions necessary. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." And so the simple is called a fool because they, first and foremost, they reject God's word. And they believe things that are contrary to God's word. They need prudence, but they lack it. Proverbs 1:4 says, "To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." And so they're gullible or simple-minded. And they believe things that they hear without trying to research them, without trying to study, without trying to use discernment or compare what they're hearing to God's word, because they don't know God's word and they don't care to know God's word. So they lack the ability to discern, and this crops up in many of the verses that we're going to read today about the simple. It's interesting, the prudent man is the opposite. The simple believes everything. The prudent man will try what he hears or what she hears. They will try it, and they will examine whether it stacks up with Scripture or not. Proverbs 8:5 says, "Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." Now, what's different between the simple and the scorner is that and you'll see this as we look through these passages, God is repeatedly asking or telling the simple to listen, to learn, to observe what is true. God is continually telling the simple to go to God's word and search these things, whether they are true or not. God does not give that same command to the scoffer, because the scoffer has already turned their back on God. They already think they know better than God and refuse to listen to Him. So in a sense, the simple, or the simple-minded, as they could be called here, the simple are in a better position than the wise man who is a scoffer, because they're still able to learn and become wise. And the scoffer's already turned his back. The scorner, he's already turned his back against God. And so, in a sense, the simple is in a good place. Now, I think there's a second reason for that. When God's word is talking about the simple, it's talking about those who just lack understanding. And so sometimes a child would fall into the simple category just because they don't know very much. By the way, I remind you that Solomon is writing this to his son. And he's telling his son to get wisdom and get understanding, to pursue the things of God. And we need to do the same. So the simple here is not in a good position, but they at least can move out of that position from being simple to being wise if they heed to God's word. If they don't, they remain in their simplicity, or even worse, in a sense, turn to scoffing and scorning. And so very simply put, they are just spiritually ignorant. Either they lack knowledge of spiritual things, or they refuse to gain knowledge of spiritual things, or refuse to learn. It would leave them in this category of the simple, but they would be a simple fool. And that, in a sense, could be better than a scornful fool. But they're told to learn, and they're told to grow, and they're told to gain knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 32 says, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." The turning away literally means the waywardness, to move off of the path of what is right and what is true. So that they at a time might be following what is true. They may be gaining knowledge, but they kind of, whether they get distracted by the shiny things around them or they simply veer off because of their lack of understanding, they become wayward. They stop following God and they start pursuing other things. And what happens is it leads to their own destruction. This is an incredible verse. The turning away of the simple will slay them. It is a path that leads to destruction. If I could put it in New Testament terms, it is a wide path that leads to destruction. And so the wayward here go off to their own peril. These people are foolishly blind to their own destructive behavior. Have you ever heard of the Darwin Awards? Okay, some of you have. Okay, the Darwin Awards are actually, it's an unofficial thing. Actually, I think it's just some woman in her like late 30s that started this. The lore is that it began back in 1985 when a man attached a jet engine to his Chevy Impala in order to try and set the land speed record and instead launched himself from the Salt Plateau into a mountain and died. Now, it is not true. There's no documentation that that actually occurred. It's just a great story of a knucklehead. It actually began in a much less or lackluster way. And the true story of its beginning is that a man was trying to rob a vending machine and tipped it over on himself and crushed himself to death. Which actually, I believe statistically, vending machines are more dangerous than great white sharks. That's a fact, actually. And so it's just the Darwin Awards is just how people made foolish decisions and died as a result. There's horrible stories of people who lack understanding, make poor choices, and then have to suffer the consequence of their decision making. This would be the simple. The simple or the fool. The reason is because they choose to move through life or cruise through life in relative ease rather than in wisdom. Would you look at chapter 2 with me? This is not speaking of the fool. It's actually speaking of the prudent man or the wise man. And I'd like to read through a few select verses. By the way, Solomon here, as he begins Proverbs under inspiration, is giving wisdom to his son. And he doesn't start with the fool, although he defines that there's categories of people. There are wise and there are foolish. There's the sage and there's the scorner and there's the simple. But in verse or chapter 2, he's trying to emphasize the importance of being a wise man, being a wise person, being somebody who follows the truth of Scripture. And so he starts very much in the positive, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Very interesting. Verses 1 through 4 are all a searching for wisdom and a searching for prudence. And when they're searching, this person is searching for wisdom and searching for prudence, what do they find? Verse 5, they find the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the awe of God. And we're told back in chapter 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Very different from the turning away of the simple, who becomes wayward and follows their own path and leads to their own destruction. Here the wise, the prudent, will follow the discretion of the Lord, the understanding of the Lord, and it will lead to life. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, the result, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And then verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And so the wisdom of God, the prudence of God, leads us away from sin, but the simplicity, the person who is simple and pursues their own desires and their own passions, leads to destruction. And the reason is because I think they're selfish. I refer back to Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? It doesn't say love the things of the Lord. It says love the simple things. You could translate or change the word simplicity to foolish or vain, empty things. For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You don't want to know why fools hate knowledge? Because the knowledge reveals their foolishness. It reveals the foolish pursuits of their heart, the things that they love, the simple, foolish, empty, vain things that they love to pursue. And the reason is because they're selfish. They live for themselves. They love the life of little responsibility. Or simple responsibility. I give you a case in point. I'm not on Twitter, but the pastors, we were talking about this week. There's a young man on Twitter. He was a witness of some of the Parkland shootings. And this is what he said this week. He tweeted out, kids are the new boats. Pets are the new kids. Plants are the new pets. Let me explain. I wish he wouldn't. This is as wise as his comments get at this point, and that's not very wise. It's selfish. He goes on, like, this sounds so, like such a learned young man. Like, yes, kids are nice, but most people can't afford them, so it's nice to have friends with one, but not have one yourself. Pets are the affordable version of kids today for millennials and Gen Z, and plants are now the more affordable. He didn't even get that right, did he? I didn't notice that till just now. Pets, or plants, are the new affordable pets, is what he's trying to say. Oh, there, he fixed it, didn't he? All right, great. Couldn't go back and edit? Can you edit? You can't edit? Foolish. Foolish social media. Oh, this is hard. This is small. Like, oh, this is going to be great. Like the number of people I know who literally throw big actual birthday parties for their dogs that they have friends invited and everything is awesome, but also very telling of our changing view of having children and our economic condition. Like me, I'm never planning to have kids. I would much rather own a Porsche and have a Portuguese water dog and golden doodle. Long term, it's cheaper, better for the environment, and will never tell you that it hates you or asks you to pay for college. This is just brilliance. Oh yeah. The comments, all right, had to be selective, but the comments, they're gold. Nice to hear you're not reproducing. Luckily, conservative kids are having kids. There is hope. So literally, you walk through the reason of why, as a public servant, at the core of your being, you make all of your decisions first based on what benefits yourself over others. Excellent character trait. Worst part, you've thoroughly thought it out. You're low-level narcissist. By the way, that's very true. That's very astute. Hans Gochenar is very astute. He is a low-level narcissist because he's not even good at being. Listen, a good narcissist, you don't even know how narcissistic they are. But a low-level narcissist, they're typing it. He's typing out his narcissism for you to see how selfish and petty he is. Your Porsche will break down. Your expensive dogs will die every 10 years or so. Friends will be busy with their jobs, their family, and life. You'll get old and undoubtedly look back at your trendy little viewpoint and wish you'd made room for lasting investments in your life. By the way, these are not saved people that I know of, but this is truth. That's certainly much wiser than what he was saying. You should probably delete this tweet. Your future self will be greatly ashamed and embarrassed. You see, there's a danger with being simple, isn't there? And it's even worse nowadays because now you can publicize your simplicity for all the world to see. This is foolish. This is so foolish. This is so selfish. And yet they flaunt their simplicity for the world to see. There's a danger of being simple. And the danger is found in Proverbs 7:7. Would you go there with me? The danger is that they're easily led into sin. I think David, I don't know how old he is, 20 years old? 21 maybe? I think he got into Harvard, but it's not because of his intellectual capacity, I don't think. Where did he learn these things at 16, 17, 18? Right? Somebody taught some of these things to him, and he thought, yeah, that's a good idea. Porsche and a Portuguese water dog. That epic life goals right there. That's the real meaning of life. And he was led into that sin easily, duped. He doesn't even have the discretion to understand that the things he's saying are foolish. And so he's easily led. Proverbs 7:7 says, "And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding." And if you know Proverbs chapter 7, it is the danger here is falling into a pattern of sin, sexual sins. This type of person also walks into danger unknowingly. Unbeknownst to them, they're heading. As we read earlier, they become wavered. They veered off the path. They think they're still on the path of wisdom, and yet they're following and pursuing things that are foolish and dangerous because they lack discernment. Discernment being the ability to see ahead. And so they walk into danger because they can't see what's in front of them. Hey, David Hogg? Hogg. He can't even see how foolish and detrimental his decision-making right now is for the later portion of his life. Now, I joke around tongue-in-cheek with this, but the medical community says the human brain, the prefrontal cortex that's paramount to decision-making, doesn't become fully developed until 26 years of age. So let's hope there's some more development coming. This is why we have to teach our children how to make decisions. It doesn't come naturally. And there is a need to teach them what is dangerous, what is wise, what is right, and what is wrong. because they cannot see ahead. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man realizes that they're going down a dangerous path, they're heading in the wrong direction, and they need to get out of there. The simple just continues to walk on. This is why parents are instructed to give wisdom, and they're commanded to teach their children. This is why Proverbs started, as I mentioned earlier, Proverbs 1 verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. By the way, the law, what's the law of thy mother? It's the declared precepts. It's not hidden terms here. The Proverbs 1:8 father and mother are those who are instilling the wisdom of God, the precepts and the laws of God into their children. They're training their children what God says about himself, how God says they're to interact in the world. That's the law of the mother. She's reciting what she loves, and that is the law of God. And so the parent, the mother, and the father is instructed, commanded to give their children wisdom, instruction, declared precepts. Another danger, besides just walking into danger or walking into sin and destruction, is they inherit folly. And this is, I think, an important one. Proverbs 14:18, the simple inherit folly. It gets really basic for us there. That way we all get it. The simple inherit folly. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. What's it mean? Folly here is corruption, perverseness. It literally means silliness or things of no value. So the simple receive for an inheritance foolishness, perverseness, corruption, silliness. And I find it really interesting as you read through and you study the simple in Proverbs, they struggle. They struggle financially. They struggle morally. They struggle in work. They can never seem to get ahead. Bad things always happen. When you talk to these type of people, they certainly exist in this world, and when you talk to them, nothing is ever their fault. The foolish decisions that they've made, it's not their fault. The financial peril that they continually find themselves in, it's not their fault. The work, the fact that they've lost so many jobs, it's not their fault. We had an interview with the childcare recently, and she had 7 different jobs in the last year and a half, and I just asked her a question, why have you kind of bounced around? And she had a litany of reasons why it was every coworker she ever had's fault, or boss. I mean, that was a really easy, I didn't even have to be that prudent to make that decision. And there's just always excuses. They can't seem to get ahead because they live for today. What's easiest? I'll do that. What's the shortest gain that I can possibly get? I'll do that. Because they lack the prudence to look ahead, to foresee the future, to strive for difficult things. So whatever's easiest, whatever brings the quickest gain, whatever takes the least amount of effort for what they pursue is what they're going to pursue. There's no tenacity. There's not an ability to press through difficult things because they just don't lack the understanding of what it will bring. And I think the worst danger with the simple is if they remain in their simplicity, then I think there's only one place to move. If they remain in their simplicity and they refuse to learn, then eventually they become a scorner. They become someone who is discontent, shakes their fist at God, feels as if God has done them an injustice in life. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. The person who refuses to heed God's word, to learn God's ways, no matter how many times they're struck with the consequence of their own actions or own inactions, they refuse to change. Eventually, that person may become a scorner. a scoffer at God. And that is certainly a grave danger. And why is that? Because the simple before God, and again, I want to emphasize one thing before we get to the very last scripture that we're going to look at. The simple, while in their simplicity, I think still possesses the capacity, if they would be willing, to gain wisdom. Until they become a scoffer and a scorner and turn their back on God. And I'm not saying that people can never turn to the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying a scoffer could never turn to God. I'm not saying that. But generally speaking, remember, Proverbs are general statements. They're not absolute promises. They're general statements from God. The simple could learn and grow. Proverbs 19:25 says this, "Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge." So we have all three people listed here. All three people listed in this passage. Strike a scorner, and what happens? Doesn't even say the scorner will learn or the scoffer. They're not going to learn. But the simple will observe and realize the foolishness of the scoffer. Or they could. And they'll at least be weary if not turn to wisdom. But notice the other one. Rebuke one who has understanding. That's to rebuke a wise man. To rebuke someone who's pursuing knowledge. You rebuke them and what do they discern? Knowledge. So you have three people with three different reactions here. Proverbs 21:11 says, "When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge." I'm going to ask you to go to Proverbs 8 and we'll close. Proverbs 8. And the reason I want to go here is because to emphasize my point that I made twice now, and that is the simple can gain knowledge. And move from simplicity. And by the way, I mean this in a very general, honest sense. Children start, everyone starts in that simple category. Everyone. And hopefully you've moved from that simple category, skip the scoffing, and move to the wise man. When we want our children, we want our young people to move from simplicity to wisdom, which is why it's paramount for us to instruct them in wisdom. To give them the law of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, though, God does want the simple to learn. But they must learn, or else they'll suffer the consequence of their own simplicity. Read with me chapter 8, verse 5. Here's a command here, or a call by God. "O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." In fact, he even goes on, verse 9, "They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge." Look at verse 12. "I, wisdom." So wisdom dwells with the prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." Verse 17. This is wisdom again. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now, this is not a reference to doing your devotions before 7 a.m. It's saying early in life. Before they squander their life, before they pursue useless vanities, they should pursue wisdom. And they'll find wisdom. Look at verse 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me," that's wisdom, "findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Verse 36, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. all they that hate me love death. We're to get wisdom and get understanding. But as a church, I mean, we have a lot of young people in here. Let me tell you, young people, I have an incredible mother and father who are very wise and love the Lord. They love the Lord now. I'm thankful they love the Lord now more than they loved the Lord when I was young, but they still love the Lord when I was young. But you know what? Sometimes I thought, my parents don't know anything. With my vast 17 years of knowledge, I think I know more than my mom and my dad. And then I went out in the real world and I went to college. And I remember writing, I was 21 and I wrote my parents a letter. Now that's before email, you know, that's on paper with a pen. I didn't send them a text. I wrote them a letter and I just apologized for being young and foolish and for thanking them for being wiser than I recognized. And of course, the older I get, the more I realize how wise they were. I wish all our young people could understand that. But at the same time, I wish all our old people, and I mean by that adults, would realize the value of placing, instilling in our young people the fear of the Lord, wisdom. We don't want any of our young people in this church to be foolish. We don't want any of them to leave and be simple and follow the pursuits of their heart and follow the selfishness that our flesh so longs for, but instead to understand wisdom and understanding, knowledge and discernment, because we understand the fear of the Lord. It's a hard task. There's nothing harder. I firmly believe it. There's nothing harder in this world than raising young people. And so let us make sure we do it the Lord's way. Warning them of simplicity. Helping them to avoid scoffing and scorning so that they pursue wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, even as we think back, if my parents knew some of the foolish things I did, I'm sure they would hesitate to own me at times. And yet, you, in your perfect wisdom and your perfect knowledge and your perfect love, look past my faults and my foolishness. You redeemed me. You made me your own. You call me your son. And even now when I make foolish decisions or selfish or scornful decisions even at times, Lord, you very tenderly call me back to you, to reverence you, to live out that reverence. And I pray if we have young people that we are interacting with or even our own children at times behaving simply or even scornfully, that Lord, with your tenderness and your wisdom, we would remind them of your knowledge. We would remind them of your law, your precepts, your ways. We would warn them that there are always consequences for the decisions that we make. And we would call them to follow you. Lord, help us as grandparent age people in this church to look for the young people and for the simple who walk through the door and remind them not to love simplicity, but to love your law. And Lord, the parents, that we would have honest conversations with our children, but also, Lord, honest conversation with other parents. That if we see foolhardiness in others, that we would love them enough to warn them. Lord, we want to build up young people from our church who love you, who leave strong, resilient disciples who pursue your things. And so, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us patience as we deal with the simple, the scornful, and that we would give you the honor and the glory for how we communicate to them and how we ourselves continue to pursue wisdom. Lord, may you be honored and glorified by these things in our hearts. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.